Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, December 6th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is an overcast, 31 degrees. And I see that the forecast is saying lake effect snow is in our future. I mentioned that yesterday. I just looked up the forecast here. They're not quite so sure which direction we're going to get it. But Buffalo, I saw 1 to 2 feet with gusts up to 30 miles an hour starting Thursday morning. So this should be interesting. Where did we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Precision Medicine, Global Technocracy, Biosensors, Big Data, and the VA. We had ended the show yesterday looking at how Dr. Smartphone, I just like that phrase, smart medicine, medicine being done electronically, putting you in a database, running algorithms against that database to find correlations and potentially future cures for you in particular by comparing your data to others in the database. Now, it's not such a bad idea, I'm going to tell you. You know, it's not that I am against finding cures for things that maybe some bonehead doctor never noticed, because, you know, we've all had bad doctors before, ones who really don't care much about you. I've had good doctors too, but majority of them really don't go out of their way to find out answers to all your little aches and creaks. Well, the VA is going to employ artificial intelligence and precision medicine for veterans. Now, we discussed how not only back in February of 2015, Obama passed the Precision Medicine Initiative, but then in February of 2016, we read a story yesterday where they accelerated the Precision Medicine Initiative. They are sprinkling DARPA dollars at so many different institutions now across the gamut, all the verticals, education, we have business. They opened up the federal contracting mechanism that used to have all these certifications to be able to bid on federal jobs. But see, companies that work with the federal government work a bit too slow and tend to be a bit too expensive. So they've now opened it up to all of the technology companies to come bid on their projects. We already know that the big boys have been working on all these disruptive technologies, namely artificial intelligence, big data, the internet of everything. And this has now made everything just ripe. All these new miniaturized sensors and smart little applications we can put on our phone that back end to some sort of AI or some sort of algorithm. Little now add-ons for our phone that'll be able to do like real-time blood scans, real-time breath scans. I saw that there was one for diabetes. They can detect some sort of substance in your breath. We were looking at might have been last week, that electrocardiogram or encephalocardiogram, whichever the heart one is. Saw when the guy was going into defib and emailed his doctor with real-time statistics. I mean, this really is coming. And the scary part about all this is the fact that we're all going to be databased. And the people who own the database do not have your best interest at heart. See, this is now the economy for the 21st century. Per Obama, we already saw biotech stocks are going off the hook. We have new little startups get sprinkle funding from DARPA or the National Institute of Health or the National Institute of Mental Health or the National Science Foundation. All these organizations that get appropriations and budgets passed out of Congress, they sprinkle this funding, they give them a project they want them to work on, and then when they come up with a development, they spin it out into a little IPO, an initial public offering, and they make it public, and they all make bazillions of dollars, and the data that they're utilizing is our personal data. That data has a huge value to them, and we give it away for free. This new All of Us program, FKA, what did they call it? The cohort program with the National Institute of Health, the 23andMe DNA swap for $29.95. Check that box. Remember, checking that box gives them very valuable data for nothing. We talked about this a very long time ago. I had realized that what they are doing is erasing. They got out that big pen eraser. Maybe they got out the whiteout. They whited out that R&D line item budget line from their yearly budget. All that money that they used to have to use to get approvals, to do all the pre-testing, to take something to the FDA and say, hey, we want to use this. And they'd say, oh, that's not ethical to experiment on humans. No. We need more lab tests. Well, now, with these new initiatives, precision medicine, namely number one, and we're going to talk about the 21st Century Cures Act. We've talked about that a lot. And surprisingly enough, after we talked about it again yesterday, I found a new story. It is chugging forward. 21st Century Cures Act gets rid of the FDA. And not really. I mean, I keep saying that, but it doesn't get rid of the FDA, but it pretty much takes the teeth out of the FDA. Not that they had any teeth before, but it pretty much puts them on the sidelines. So they just give their blessing and they go, yep. You can now, instead of doing all this pre-footwork in the lab, you can now put this out there as a clinical trial. That clinical trial that, no, you with whatever disease you might have that's dying and desperate, you might want to get involved in this clinical trial. We're not going to call it human experimentation, wink. I don't know if you guys can hear that large military helicopter flying over. You are not going to be, quote unquote, experimented upon. We are going to give you your last chance. I really hope you can hear that. It's like flying directly over the house. We want to give you your last chance and allow you to participate in helping other humans. This All of Us program. And I want to find that because we're going to read. This might be a good setting. All of Us program. There it is in my history. The PMI cohort program announces its new name. The All of Us Research Program. This is on the National Institute of Health's website. The Precision Medicine Initiative cohort program will now be called the All of Us Research Program and will be the largest health and medical research program on precision medicine. A set of core values is guiding its development and implementation. Number one, participation is open to all of us. Yes, step right up, little mousey. Number two, participants reflect the rich diversity of the United States. Number three, participants are partners in this research program. Yes, see, we're going to play this little psychobabble thing on you. You are not our guinea pigs. Like that crazy woman before the first cup tells you, oh no, you're our partners. Feel good about yourself. Give us all of your biological information for us to use as free research and development. Number four, participants will have access to their information. Unlike the old school, we read about that yesterday, and I shared some of my personal experiences, how in the old days, paper and pen, first of all, you couldn't read what they wrote, but number two, they wouldn't typically allow you to have it unless you paid for every single page that was photocopied, sometimes a buck a piece. Number five, data will be accessed broadly for research purposes. So, see, you're giving it up for free. Number six, security and privacy will, of course, be of the highest importance. We are going to put you into our secure data center. run by one of the alphabet agencies, and then we'll run some of our shape-shifting DARPA Cyber Grand Challenge immune system software against it to make sure that there are no vulnerabilities. And number, I don't know even what number this is, this program will be a catalyst for positive change in research. So apparently everything up until this point has been not positive. All right, well, the name change reflects these values. So we've gone from the Precision Medicine Initiative cohort program. So you're not no longer a cohort. You are now one of all of us. Inclusion, people. See, this is how they're going to toy us. Let's all be a part of curing all disease. This reminds me of the 70s Coca-Cola commercial where everyone's holding hands, standing around a globe, singing, I like to teach the world to sing. Remember that song? That was a PSYOP. That was the bringing us all together to do something for the machine. And this next agenda is to suck us all in and see, we've all been resistant consumers up to this point. Like we said yesterday, many times before that, that when we first started talking about nanobots in your blood or nanobots attaching themselves to your brainstem to be able to give you 24/7 internet connectivity, I had said, like, who in their right mind is going to step right up and do that? It's going to have to be something big. It's going to have to be something like the cure for the big C. And sure then shit, what did they come out with? I don't know if it was beginning of this year, maybe the last quarter of last year, if I had to put a good guess on it. We started seeing headline stories about legions of nanobots delivering payloads to cancerous tumors, and now they're all over the place doing all kinds of crazy things, and none of this is considered unethical human research anymore because we have this All of Us program because we can step right up and do it for the good of everyone and see whether or not it's going to help us with our problem. Give up all your data because you might cure someone else. Your misfortune may turn into the fortune for another. To truly reflect the far-reaching nature of this program, the National Institute of Health developed a name that would convey, see, they did play a PSYOP, the inclusivity. Yes, this isn't about trying to find ways to eventually allow the billionaires to be immortal. Oh, no. This isn't about that. You aren't version 1.0 that's stepping up to get this research done upon you. Oh, no. Remember, one thing that Microsoft always taught me, don't be 1.0. Just don't, because it's loaded with bugs and they still don't quite know what they're doing. Don't be 1.0. Anyway, what does all of us mean? Well, all of us represents the hope for all of us to come together to change the future of healthcare. The more people across America, you know, and here's the thing. Notice how we had to have Obamacare before all this happened. Notice how we've now had to have, as of 2017, all those double-digit price increases that they had warned about. Now all came to fruition right at the time as we have a changing of the guards. He's going to do something with Obamacare. Doesn't quite know what yet. But everybody's crying now because it's really hurting their pocketbook. Got to come up with a solution. Oh, Dr. Smartphone and precision medicine. It lowers the cost. We read you spin technology into anything. And it is lowering your price point by double every year. Comes better, cheaper, faster. And we are going to be the next targeted items. They ended up getting a bonus by getting rid of that R&D line item budget from all the big pharma and device manufacturers. And like I said, this 21st Century Cures Act is chugging right along to make this a freewheeling orgy of money making in the biotech industry. Anyway, what does all of us mean? Well, all of us represents the hope for for all of us to come together to change the future of healthcare. The more people across America that participate, the more data they will contribute to this research platform, and the more researchers who tap into the data freebies, to greater our chances of unlocking medical breakthroughs. We are now calling on every person in every community in America to give for ourselves, for our communities, and for our future. We are asking that they join the All of Us research program. November 16th, 2016 was the last time this was gone through. Guys, I am horrified because right now they are asking tomorrow after a million plus people step up. Remember, we already found out that they were working on this as part of the National Institute of Health 23andMe collaboration. They wanted a million people at least to step up and give their data, give their DNA to help them not only cure disease, but to come up with new drugs. Now this goes a step further. This is going to be all your information. This is going to be your treatment profiles. This is going to be your electronic medical health records, all collated and databased and algorithmed so they can have a Dr. Watson. And Dr. Watson, you know, I read about way back when we first started reading about Watson doing healthcare. Watson is now working at 20 oncology hospitals. I had read about Watson moving into the VA, so it was interesting. We saw the story yesterday. They did not mention Watson in that story at all, but they did mention artificial intelligence and precision medicine for veterans. And of course, our veterans, once you sign up for the military, you become their, I don't even know what you'd want to call it, object to experiment on, at least while you are in the military. And then, of course, if you continue to receive your veterans' benefits, your veterans' doctor care after the fact, they are going to, again, still own you at a health level. They will be able to continue to monitor their experiments that they started on you when you first entered the military and received that gamut of vaccines. Some of them experimental, like the anthrax vaccine using that squalene adjuvant. I'm sure there's lots and lots of other things that we never knew about. But yeah, so the VA now is going to be utilizing AI and precision medicine. One of the things we're going to look at, too, I have a story queued up a few down the row here, DARPA's five radical plans for military medicine. That's where this all comes from. Everything keeps going back to DARPA. DARPA is the big evil brain that comes up with moonshots. Anything that's just crazy enough, DARPA will be on top of. So there is a story that I ran across yesterday, December 4th, 2016, out of a publication called IP Watchdog. I actually never heard of these guys before, but what caught my attention, and they do look pretty damn legit, what caught my attention is that the dude that wrote this story, and he looks pretty young, but he looks like he's very astute, Steve Brockman, is a writer located where? Buffalo, New York. So from my hometown, he has worked professionally as a freelancer for more than 7 years, and he has become a regular contributor to IPWatchdog.com, writing about technology, innovation, and is the primary author of the Companies That We Follow series. See, this kid's got it going on. Companies That We Follow, you know, that's where you pay attention. And people say, oh, the stock market's all going to crash. Yeah, it might crash eventually. But I'm telling you what, watching the financials of who's in the game and who's not and how they're all interacting on the back end is very, very, very telling as to what our future is going to look like. Anyway, back to this little smarty pants, Steve Brockman. His work has been published in the Buffalo News, which that was our paper in Buffalo, the Hamburg Sun. I know lots of people in Hamburg, as well as USA Today, Cron.com, The Motley Fool, and OpenLettersMonthly.com. Steve also provides website copy and documents for various business clients. So very interesting. After I read his little profile, I was like, wow, and he's writing about the 21st Century Cures Act. I might actually, to be honest with you, I might send Steve Brockman an email, see if he'd like to be part of the alternative media movement a little more than he already is. All right, anyway, 21st Century Cures Act. This is his story. Passed overwhelmingly by the House. Major health reform bill now moves to the Senate. On Wednesday, November 29th, the U.S. House of Representatives, so it happens, people, voted to pass H.R. 6, the 21st Century Cures Act, which will likely be voted on by members of the U.S. Senate in early December. Oh, no. You knew this was coming. It was sitting there waiting. We've played that 21st Century Cures sales video that we had the two Congress members. I don't remember. They were, one was Democrat, one was Republican. And they were like holding hands across the aisle, talking about the wonders of 21st century medicine and accelerating cures, getting that pesky FDA out of the way, because there are so many treatments out there that people could be using right now if they didn't worry about pesky regulation and safety. And that's what it all comes down to, guys. They already got an orgy of earnings on the horizon, and now they're going to get rid of all of the regulations that the FDA had in place to at least do due diligence to ensure the public safety. Now it's all going to be done with case studies. And little Johnny, I'm sorry, but if you're desperate enough to step right up for something untested and all of a sudden you have a brain hemorrhage, because I saw that happened in a couple, I don't know if it was a brain hemorrhage or something happened to the brains of two of these people that were in some new clinical trial and they stopped it all of a sudden. You know, that's the chance that you're gonna take. But remember, this is freebie money to these companies utilizing not only our information once it's in the database, and that's gonna be all of us. See, they're pointing out it is going to be all of us voluntary right now, but not so in the not too distant future. But they also are allowing us to be the petri dish, you know, stepping up. It's not going to be just all of us. It's going to be all of us. And then let's take it a step further. Untested procedures with untested technology on human beings to see what happens. The 21st Century Cures Act's purpose is to accelerate, here we go, and this is like verbatim out of that video, the discovery, development, and delivery of new medicines. Media reports indicate that the bill would set in motion, and listen to this, a $6.3 billion with a B dollar initiative in an effort to not only fund research in development in many medical fields, but also increases consumer access to various treatments. Yeah, like it opens the door to allow all of us to become the guinea pigs. By some measures, this bill is reportedly the largest reform of the U.S. health sector since 2010's Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare. Yes, it is the next step in the puzzle. And if enacted, the 21st Century Cures Act would establish a U.S. Treasury fund called the National Institute of Health and Cures Innovation Fund. This fund would receive $1.86 billion per year over four fiscal years up to 2020. I'm so glad that we have a spare $6.3 billion just laying around to fuel this initiative to hand profits and our citizens over to Big Pharma Wow. Obama sold us. I told you this is about selling humanity 1.0. So anyway, over the next four fiscal years up until 2020, and each year, $1.75 billion of those funds would be reserved for biomedical research of the National Institute of Health, including basic translational and clinical research, and at least $500 million of these NIH funds would be used for an accelerating advancement program to partner with national research institutes, DING, i.e. universities, and national centers to accomplish biomedical research objectives. So they're going to sprinkle funds everybody out of this. Of the remaining, and that's all free money, they are sucking the taxpayer to now hand all the R&D funding to all of these huge companies. I mean, typically a company will not invest unless, like they've said, all these quote-unquote vaccines that we've never come up with, or these cures that we've never come up with, is because there's no money in it. Well, 21st century medicine is the new panacea of profit. So every single one of these companies is guaranteed to make money in their investment. Why do they need venture capital from the federal government and from the pockets of taxpayers? That's what I want to know. Why are we funding our own 21st century enslavement? This is the dirty part of this deal. There does not need to be funding in this. Let the free market take control. And the FDA should still be doing their due diligence in making certain that these projects are safe. And of the remaining $1.25 billion or less, at least 35% will be allocated to early stage investigators, which have earned at one of the National Institute of Health competitive grants. So they must have given money out as well. And I don't have an issue with grants, but not freewheeling money. And at least 20% will be allocated for, quote, high risk, high reward research. So they're taking over again a little bit of DARPA's center of research, high risk, high reward. That is also called moonshots typically. And then at most 10% will be reserved for intramural research. Another $110 million left in the yearly budget will then be allocated to cures development and will fund drug manufacturing studies. Why are we funding drug manufacturing studies, health software studies, as well as obtaining data on disease history? We are paying for our own enslavement. Most of the bill is spread out among three titles, the first of them being Discovery. And in this section, it instructs that the National Institute of Health is to establish an innovative prizes program to fund areas of biomedical research that could realize significant enhancements or improvement in health incomes. It also enables the National Institute of Health to offer support in later clinical trials, calls for more collaboration with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to implement a system that allows further research on clinical trial data. Let's make us all guinea pigs. And establishes a not-for-profit organization called, oh my, Council for 21st Century Cures. And this council will focus on efforts to accelerate medicine discovery, development, and delivery. So the Council for 21st Century Cures is going to be the one that determines that you are an outcast when you will not be vaccinated with little nanobody self-shifting genetic therapies that they are working on right now. Title 2 of the 21st Century Cures Act. I have to say, guys, this, what was his name? Steve Brockman did a good job breaking this down, at least, is what is in the actual bill. We've talked about this for already about a year and a half, and it's pretty amazing because it has moved forward, and I knew it was gonna. So this is a really good understanding of what is coming. Title 2 of the 21st Century Cures Act focuses on the development aspect of the proposed bill and heaps no small amount of responsibility on the FDA. It amends the Federal Food and Drug and Cosmetic Act to require the FDA to establish processes under which patient experience data may be considered in the risk-benefit assessment of a new drug. So basically, this is saying, FDA, you are going to make it now legal for us to have access to that patient's formerly private information. But since you allowed us to experiment on them, we should have access to their data. The FDA must also identify precision drugs which can treat serious rare diseases and then expedite their development so we can make bazillions of dollars. Establish a program for priority review of breakthrough medical devices and train FDA employees. Yeah, those employees that really have no idea what they're doing right now with these 21st century cures on the quote-unquote least burdensome, so it could be easy for them, appropriate means concept in their review of medical devices. So, you know, it's going to be hard. It's going to be fast. So don't look at it too closely, FDA. The least burdensome. Is it shiny? Yep. All right. It's approved. At the same time, I mean, this is like how they're approving GMO as well. Yeah, all right. It's an apple. Yeah, it's an apple. All right. Well, it's approved. People have been eating apples for eons. At the same time, their proposed bill would take away FDA authority in certain regards, such as requiring the agency to rely on third-party certification of the safety and effectiveness of medical devices as meeting FDA criteria. So they must have had like FDA certified inspectors who actually kind of knew what they were doing, and they subcontracted them to go out and, yep, give the stamp of approval. Well, I guess they can't rely on them anymore. You can't pay them. Nope, got to pull all those contracts and do it in-house. Except your people, our federal employees, have been sitting on their asses for the last 15 years collecting a paycheck on the taxpayer dime and laughing about what a cakewalk job it is. They don't have to do jack shit. Well, hate to tell you, these are going to be the ones now that are approving your new medical devices. And it also authorizes additional hiring. Well, that's good. For the FDA for scientific, technical, and professional positions within the agency centers. So I guess they'll be hiring those third-party contractors. Title 3 deals with the delivery of innovative treatments and is perhaps the most tech-heavy section of the 21st Century Cures Act. A side note to this, my dad, when I saw him, whenever it was, Thanksgiving, I think, a couple weeks back, was telling me that he'd seen on the news, there were all kinds of stories about how, you know, with all this new medicine and technology merging, they're going to be looking for hundreds of thousands of tech professionals to get into this field. And they are calling all professionals with lots of years of experience to start applying for these federal jobs. He's like, Joel, you know, they're hiring. I mean, I don't know. Become a part of the machine, you might be able to see what's happening on the inside. But do you really want to be in the rotten core of this apple? I know I don't. I know already what's going on in there. I already know what the agenda is. It's very, very clear to see from outside. I don't need to be inside getting myself all aggravated and twangy, having those micro expressions popping all over my face to be scanned, bagged, and tagged. No, no, no. I think that would put people like me too much in the spotlight. It would almost be like a the ending of The Body Snatchers, where Donald Sutherland is standing. Ah! Because I think I wouldn't. I don't know. I don't have a poker face. That's one of my big problems. All right. Anyway, Title III deals with the delivery of innovative treatments and is perhaps the most tech-heavy section of the 21st Century Cures Act. This section would establish requirements for the interoperability and certification of health information technology, and that is a given. And we've been doing technology and healthcare for a very long time. The place where I worked for many years had a whole healthcare division, and it wasn't just like a department. It was an entire company that dedicated itself to technology and healthcare. And they've been pretty high tech. I mean, everything has to be interoperable these days. Once it was connected to a network, you need to be able to pull stats. In the old days, it was maybe you had 20 different little devices that you wore on your belt clip, and each one was, you know, the heart monitors and maybe the oxygen monitors. So what they're going to do, we've talked about dashboards and monitoring and network operation centers. They are taking this to the level that we used to design data networks on. This is all becoming a data network now. Remember, this Internet of Everything is taking the rules of technology, the big stuff that used to back end it all the big internet service providers, any huge data center for any large global corporation, they've been doing this stuff for 20 plus years. You have to have ways to manage very, very large networks. Well, now they're rolling all this knowledge and know-how out to the medical establishment, and all those endpoints that they'll be monitoring will be you and me in real time, wherever we may be. Anyway, this section would establish requirements for the interoperability and certification of health information technology. And again, some of those certifications have to do with HIPAA and privacy and encryption and whatever. And it requires Medicare and Medicaid authorities to provide telehealth information, again, ding, ding, electronic medical health records, to Congress. So Medicare and Medicaid have to provide telehealth information to Congress. So if you go on a medical health care plan run by the federal government, your information is handed to Congress, just like we found out. If you're at the VA and you're receiving healthcare, and now we're tying it to precision medicine and AI, your health information also becomes their data that they get to utilize for their purpose. And it directs those same authorities, Congress, to pay all home healthcare agencies for certain disposable medical devices made for individuals receiving home health care services through Medicare. It also gives Medicare prescription drug plan sponsors the ability to limit drug access to certain beneficiaries for frequently abused drugs. So they're cutting off your painkillers. They want to be able to use some new technologies on you. Hey, look, we got these little nanobot things. We got these little zippity zaps. Just put on this little skull cap or these headphones, and we'll see if this works instead of those Oxycontins. And it also appoints, and I've never known how to say this word, ombudsman. Ombudsman? O-M-B-U-D-S-M-A-N. To respond to manufacturer complaints regarding Medicare coverage of their products. So that's not really, I don't know, we don't really care about Medicare right at this moment, though I guess we should, because our parents and grandparents are probably on it. Finally, Title IV of this act is directed toward Medicare and Medicaid reform. Now, let's read this. It limits aggregated Medicaid payments, to states for durable medical equipment, and it excludes certain generic drugs from the calculation of average manufacturer price when determining Medicaid rebates. This section also reduces Medicare payments, for X-ray imaging, which uses film or an imaging plate instead of digital sensors. They're going to just force everyone. And it revises Medicare payments for infusion drugs and biologicals. Remember, biologicals are the new 21st century mad science gone mad drugs. Furnished through durable medical equipment. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services would also be directed to increase its support of Lyme disease and tick-borne diseases through strategic research. And right, remember Lyme disease and then this new Paswan disease up in the New England that there's no cure for, and you hope you survive. I really believe that those creepy crawlies are part of that entomological research program that was going on in Plum Island in Fort Detrick, Maryland, with the help of the Operation Paperclip scientists that came and all the other biological warfare research that happened, and some stuff got out. So we are going to now get the Department of Health and Human Services to start a strategic research, give them some money, get them to increase their support to study how well these bioweapons have been working. And if that wasn't enough evidence for you that all of these divisions are working together to force this upon us, well, we've talked about the ugly head that we keep coming back to. It's even before DARPA, but it's where DARPA kind of spun out of. It's where the Department of Defense kind of spun out of. It's where all this crazy research and this direct connect is coming from. It's where Operation Paperclip originated, and all of our nuclear energy and all of our space program and synthetic biology all comes back to this ugly head called the Department of Energy. The Department of Energy is a big, scary place full of red tape and big, dark silos that we have no idea what's going on in there. Well, interestingly, Section 4 of this 21st Century Cures Act also has a section that includes a rider provision, so they tack something on, which would direct the U.S. Department of Energy to sell. Remember, this is the 21st Century Cures Act. Has a provision to sell 80 million gallons of crude oil from our strategic petroleum reserve through the fiscal year of 2025. Now, we're going to sell 80 million gallons from our strategic petroleum reserve. Now, they're pushing, they are pushing for this climate change, COP21. Agenda 21, now the 21st Century Cures. Green, clean energy innovation. The Department of Energy is also coming up with ways to use synthetic bacteria, genetically modified bacteria, to produce different energies as a byproduct of this bacteria. I just saw something not too long ago about the methane producing bacteria and some of these other things that they are working on with hydrogen. But is it really smart to sell 80 million gallons of crude oil from a strategic petroleum reserve? And where's the plans on that? I'm assuming that at some point they're going to utilize the money that they're going to garner from this 80 million gallons to maybe fund some of this 21st Century Cures. I'm not really sure what the project is all about. Maybe we'll have to look into that, but I thought that was interesting, and it is possible, it says, that this provision was added in order, yes, to fund new research required by this act. All right, let's finish this up. So it has broad partisan support, having been passed in the House overwhelmingly, 344 to 77 in a roll call vote. And it has the backing of the White House. A statement released from the White House's Office of the Press Secretary on November 30th calls the 21st Century Cures Act a critically important legislation which increases funding to combat the American heroin epidemic. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of psychological funding now going on with this mental disease research. The National Institute of Mental Health and Tommy Insel, former director of the National Institute of Mental Health, now overworking on curing mental illness through Google's Verily division. So put on a seatbelt, because they've already been able to zippity-zap your brain and do things to be able to fix your addiction. But this funding will also support cancer moonshots, and we took a look at that, led by Joe Biden, and takes meaningful steps toward improving mental health, ding, 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 and Alzheimer's disease outcome. And that screams brain research to me. All right, so where do we go from here? Let's take a look at medicine that monitors you. This actually was a story already out of 2013. And I've been squawking about this for a while. But this is something that is already out there. I was hanging out with some friends back a month or so ago. We were all having a couple beers. I hadn't seen everyone in a while. Probably a Friday night. And we're just all talking about stuff. And the one guy's saying about how he had to go for his physical, I don't know, his 50-something physical and blah, blah, blah. And they gave him one of these little camera pills. Remember I was talking about that? I had another friend who had one of those a while back. To do the upper GI, you swallow this little pill, you put this little wireless receiver onto your belt loop, and you wear it for 24 or 48 hours, and as this little camera pill goes down through your digestive tract, it takes like 60 pictures a second, or whatever, maybe 60 pictures a minute, until it gets all the way through and comes out the other end. And once you've passed it, you hand your little wireless device to your doctor, and he pulls out the flashcard, just like you have in your camera or your cell phone, and he can view pretty real time. And I mean, all they had to do is do real-time streaming. They could have that, but pretty real-time images of your digestive tract. Well, and that is out there. That is mainstream as part of a potential physical now. But listen to this. Medicines that monitor you, they look like normal pills, oblong and a little smaller than a daily vitamin. But if your doctor writes a prescription for these pills in the not-too-distant future, my favorite term, you might hear a new twist on the old cliche. And this was from 2013. I think we are already in the not-too-distant future. Quote, take two of these ingestible computers, and they will email me in the morning. As society struggles with the privacy implications of wearable computers, scientists, researchers, and some startups are already preparing the next, even more intrusive wave of computing. And these are ingestible computers as well as minuscule sensors stuffed inside of pills. Although these tiny devices are not yet mainstream, some people on the cutting edge are already swallowing them to monitor a range of health data, and then wirelessly share this information with a doctor. And there are prototypes of tiny ingestible devices that can do things like automatically open car doors or fill in passwords. And that was Regina Duggan's project. Remember, she was talking about swallowing your pill, your token, and getting your superpowers. That's exactly what those were. And for people in extreme professions like space travel, because remember, NASA has been using those astronauts as guinea pigs for a very long time, various versions of these pills have been used for some time. But in the next year, your family doctor, at least if he is technologically adept, could also have them in his medical toolkit. So that was 2013, the story. 2014, they were predicting they were already going to start rolling out to doctors' offices. Inside of these pills are tiny sensors and transmitters. And if you swallow them with water or milk, if you prefer, and that, the devices will then make their way to your stomach and stay intact as they travel through your intestinal tract. You will voluntarily, I might add, at least today, take a pill, which you think of as a pill, but is, in fact, a microscopic robot, which will monitor your systems and wirelessly transmit what is happening inside of you, says Eric Schmidt, the executive chairman of Google, last fall at a company conference. Now, Eric Schmidt is one scary dude. Eric Schmidt, we've heard him a few times giving an interview about Google's longevity project. Eric Schmidt is talking about putting little microscopic robots inside of your body, which will monitor your systems and wirelessly transmit that data. Eric Schmidt should be someone that you are afraid of. Eric Schmidt is Kurzweil's boss. And if it makes the difference between health and death, right, desperate and dying, you are going to want this thing, he says. Of course you are. Remember, desperate and dying are the first targets. One of these pills made by Proteus Digital Health, a small company in Redwood City, California, does not even need a battery. Instead, the body is the battery. I had a friend back 5-6 years ago was talking about doing that very thing, how at some point humans won't be worth much of anything and they'll be using us as living batteries. Well, here we go. Instead, the body is the power source, and just as a potato can power a light bulb, Proteus has added magnesium and copper on each side of its tiny sensor, which generates just enough electricity from your stomach acid. And as the Proteus pill hits the bottom of the stomach, it sends information to a cell phone app through a patch. So this is these digital tattoos that Regina Duggan spoke about as well in that same interview. Through a patch worn on the body, and that tiny computer can also track your medication-taking behaviors. Uh-oh. Like, did Grandma take her pill today, and at what time, little Johnny? Make sure you're taking those SSRIs to mind wipe you. And it can monitor how the patient's body is responding to this medicine. It also detects the person's movement and their rest patterns. Is Nana exercising? Did she make it down the hall? Executives at the company, which recently raised $62.5 million from investors, say that they believe that these pills will help patients with physical and neurological problems. Uh-oh. People with heart failure-related difficulties could monitor their blood flow and body temperature. And those with central nervous system issues like mental health problems, including schizophrenia and Alzheimer's, could take pills to monitor their vital signs in real time. And the Food and Drug Administration has approved this pill as of last year, 2012. A pill called the CoreTemp Ingestible Core Body Temperature Sensor. These are all biosensors made by HQ Inc. in Palmetto, Florida. Has a built-in battery and wirelessly transmits real-time body temperature as it travels through a patient. Firefighters, football players, soldiers, and astronauts have used this device so their employers can monitor them and ensure that they do not overheat in high temperatures. So firefighters, football players, soldiers, and astronauts. CoreTemp began in 2006 as a research collaboration between where? Oh, yeah, the same place with the brain database. Johns Hopkins University and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. Lee Carbonelli, HQ's marketing director, said the company hoped in the next year to have a consumer version that would wirelessly communicate to what? Oh, yeah, a doctor smartphone. Future generations of these pills could even be as a convenience tool. And last month, here we go, Regina Duggan, and this is in her advanced technology group that was under the umbrella of DARPA and Google. Last month, Regina Duggan, Senior VP for Motorola's Mobility Advanced Technology Project Group, showed off an example along with wearable radio frequency identification tattoos to attach them to the skin like a sticker. And that was the video that we heard on this show way back when. And once that pill is in your body, you could just pick up your smartphone and not even have to type in a password. Instead, you are the password. You are the token. Sit in the car and the car will start. Touch the handle to your home and it will automatically unlock. These are her superpowers she talked about. She says, essentially, your entire body becomes your authentication token. But if people are worried about privacy implications of wearable computing devices, just wait until they wrap their heads around ingestible computing. This is yet another one of these technologies where there are wonderful options and terrible options simultaneously. Yes, it's the double-edged sword, says John Berlow, founder of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. The wonderful is that there are a great number of things that you want to know about yourself, especially if you're diabetic or suffer from disease. The terrible thing is that health insurance companies could know about every inner working of your body, ding, 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 as well as governments and network operation body centers everywhere. All right, guys, make sure you stick around as Lonnie Clark is live up next. It is Tuesday. There is tons of live radio on today. Ron, Primer Time, Intermediate Radio. All right, I will catch up with you on...